From Mitch McConnell. Do you agree with his strategy, or are Democrats just being way too nice?
No, absolutely. I do not agree. And I tell you, that has been a problem in my party, that when we're in power, we're nice. We bend over backwards to work with people. Trump has stepped on everybody. He has no respect for his own colleagues, let alone those on the opposite side of the aisle. He's called names. He's lied. He's done everything to show that he really doesn't have good values and he can't be trusted. Why should we work with someone that we can't trust? He'll tell you one thing today and another thing tomorrow. As a matter of fact, those people who voted for them ought to be really concerned about the fact that he's already backpedaled on some of the promises that he made. And so, no, I have no intention of pretending everything's all right, that we're going to work together. For me, as the ranking member of the Financial Services Committee, where he said he's going to bring down Dodd-Frank and he's going to get rid of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I'm going to fight him every inch of the way.
Introducing measures to end the governor's control over election boards, to require state Senate approval of the new governor's cabinet members, and to strip his power to appoint University of North Carolina trustees, among many other measures.
Macquarie also replaced all the gubernatorial Cokes with RC Cola and accidentally, on purpose, let the possums into his office. Welcome, Governor Cooper!
Most people might think that this is a partisan power grab.
What? Only people with eyes and ears that are connected to their think box. I mean, sure, it's a little odd that before signing any new law, Governor Cooper will be required to get a transvaginal ultrasound. But that's just so he can hear the bill's heartbeat. Democrats reacted by being really psyched about getting arrested and by making their voices heard.
You just don't know. I mean, you know, when does this jump the shark? But I mean, also, I think this is going to encapsulate, and this is really going to, you know, symbolize the quality of this man's thought. I mean, there was a time when we had presidents who read books. Now we have presidents who write in 140 character messages.
prism of talk radio. I like to drive. And so I listen to talk radio, and it is 24/7 of your country is being taken away from you. As far as I can tell, the conservative side or on the right side, they feel an ownership over America. They are the stewards of America. They are its forebearers. Exactly. Republicans, conservatives, love America. They just hate like 50% of the people living in it. So, in general,
isn't part of their concern that that 50% is becoming, or whatever percent, is becoming a greater, we're becoming a much more diverse country?
Sure. So, yeah, no, nativism. Look, this is, it's not as though this is inherent only to this country as well. Globalization has created this strange pushback throughout the entire world. You see a lot of countries retreating into nativism, into that type of really...
In fact, there are Trump-like characters all over Europe in different countries.
Yes, yes. He is. It's very similar to... I don't know if you ever saw Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Very similar. But no, it's... In some ways, it's a natural reaction to fear. Now, if you have that fear stoked on a daily basis at an incredibly high pitch, and this is not, we really need to do something about this country, we're facing some difficult problems. This is, you are run by a tyrant. He is going to take away your rights. We are falling. There are rapists and murderers at the border coming to kill you. If that's what you've been fed and that's what you're buying into, Donald Trump makes more sense than anybody else out there, because he's going, great, let's build the Visigoths are out the gate. Let's build a fucking wall and not let it. It makes total sense. What wouldn't make sense are the general Republican leadership going, there are Visigoths at the wall. They are here to kill you. Let's try and not pass a new budget resolution. You know, that's their rhetoric has never matched their action. Donald Trump is saying, oh, that's your rhetoric? Then, yeah, let's build a wall.
There's a weird paradox in both his message and their attacks, which is, on the one hand, they say, well, the dictator is encroaching.
Communities are about place, and places about people.
It's hard to be a feckless dictator. Are you suggesting, Groucho Marx and Duck Soup?
Are you suggesting, sir, that there may be slight cognitive dissonance?
Well,
is that what you're suggesting? Because, well, I will not sit here and be told, look, I don't even know that Donald Trump is eligible to be president. And that's not a birther thing. I don't know. Look, I'm not a constitutional scholar, so I can't necessarily say, but... Can you, around the, you know, are you eligible area. To run if you are a man baby or a baby man? See, I don't know what the look. I don't know. And again, I'm not here to be politically incorrect. If they're referred to as man baby Americans, but he is a man baby. He's has the physical countenance of a man. And a baby's temperament and hands. So to have that together, I mean, for God's sakes, I should speak. So I do have a history with the man, and so in an effort of full disclosure, we made fun of him. And I think we refer to him as, you know, a boiled ham in a wig or something. Who knows? And so he tweeted at me because, as you know, great leaders
tweet. Yes.
Late at night. In fact, I remember Lincoln's Gettysburg tweet after he delivered.
That's why the address was so short. He had to do it in 100 points.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, after the Gettysburg address, he tweeted out, "Emancipate this motherfucker." So Donald Trump tweeted John Liebowitz. He thought he's going to use my birth name.
Is your name?
Liebowitz, yes. John Stuart Liebowitz is my Jonathan Stuart Liebowitz. He was going to tweet that, and then he tweeted out, be proud of your heritage. Don't run away from who you are. By the way, he's overrated. Or something along those lines.
incisive.
It's very incisive. And so we thought, well, geez, let's answer. So we tweeted back to him, Donald Trump's real name, which I don't know if you even know this, is Fuckface Von Clownstick. And
the research you guys must do on that show is unbelievable. Yeah.
We have people, LexisNexis, I'll tell you that. And so we wanted to know why he was running away from the Von Clownstick heritage. And we got into this huge fight. And this...
Did he sue you? He tends to sue for people for things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that a man baby can be president. He's character is destiny. And he is the most thin-skinned individual. And look, you've been around politicians. You know they're thin-skinned. You know President Obama, for all his qualities that you love, gets angry. And certainly I've borne the brunt of that at times.
Yes, I've heard.
Yes. And but I don't know that he has, and they keep saying, which I think is the most wonderful thing, don't worry, when he becomes president, he's going to be totally mature. And
well, he said being presidential is easy, and he'll do it at the appropriate time.
But what does that say about your constituency if what you're saying to them is, look, the only way that I can win this part of the race is by being an unrepentant, narcissistic asshole? Because that's what my voters like.
That is the perfect venue for the quality of his thinking. And I think that that's going to be something that's going to be a defining element of it.
If I could just interrupt here for a second, excuse me, but I just want to get this straight. Are you saying then that you would not sit down with President-elect Trump if he invited you to the White House to meet on common ground?
Oh, no, I won't go. I'm not going to sit down with him. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not pretending. This business of calling names and lying and, retreating on your promises, et cetera, why should I trust him to be any different with me? I'm the ranking member on the Financial Services Committee. I've been working hard to try and implement Dodd-Frank reforms. We went through a terrible crisis in 2008. Many people lost their homes. The banks got away with murder. No, I don't trust him. I don't believe him. I have no intentions of sitting down with him. I'm going to fight him every inch of the way. And I'm going to help show the American people that they too cannot trust him, that this is a man that does not live up to his promises. This is a man who's cheated students in the so-called Trump University. This is a man that didn't pay the contractors who worked on building his buildings and casinos. Why should I trust him?
Appealing to North Carolina Republicans' sense of shame? Have you all met them?
Hey, guess what, Chuck? Next thing you know, you'll say there's gambling in Casablanca. I mean, come on.
Hey, no. Comedy is my job. You don't tell jokes. I won't come down there and take voting rights away from black people. That is North Carolina GOP Executive Director Dallas Woodhouse, whose own brother called him out on Twitter and whose mama is so sick of this shit.
No, go to Joy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Good morning.
Hey, somebody from down south.
Well, you're right, I'm from down south.
Oh, God, it's mom.
And I'm your mother. And I disagree that all families are like ours. I don't know many families that are fighting at Thanksgiving.
Is this really your mother?
No, it's my mom.
Of course, that was back in 2014. Since then, Dallas has stacked the family with five more Republicans so he can win every argument. Suck it, Mom.
People can like it. They may not like it. But this is what you have in a state that divides power and takes a very discerning look on executive authority and has done since the King George times.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is a preview of the King Trump times, isn't it? Law?
We're going to exercise the power granted under the North Carolina Constitution.
Is there anything in the Constitution that says we can't wrap the incoming governor in duct tape and stick him where birds poop? No. Well, giddy up. But lawmakers are supposed to be democratically elected, and that is where things get a little dicey.
Republicans only have the power to push these changes through because they have a supermajority in both houses, which they've been able to hold on to because of the way they drew the state's legislative districts. Earlier this year, a court ruled that North Carolina's districts are, quote, racially gerrymandered and unconstitutional as such. And while the districts are being redrawn, new elections won't come until next year.
Until then, some of those Republican legislators have about as much right to pass laws in North Carolina as I do. Cool! I move that all tampons be free and that every Confederate flag in the state be replaced with posters of Gilmore Girls. I second the motion. It passes. Yay! The states truly are laboratories of democracy in that some of them are working hard to cure democracy like it's a virus. That is what happens when we don't read local news because it's not in our Facebook feed. While Democrats are busy signing petitions and frantically Googling the word emoluments, savvy Republicans get elected to the state house, shut the door, and go hog fucking wild. Until one day, you wake up and wonder, hey, where'd the Planned Parenthood go? And why is my tap water so thick?
WCOM, LPFM, 103.5, Michael Power Radio, community-based, volunteer-driven. I'm Dr. Furious, Furious George Show. Do it every Thursday. Go to furiousg.blogspot.com where you can learn more about it. And some of the crazy cool beats in the background. Place-based beats as we help to foment the underground revolution. And we do it here with our guerrilla-powered radio, as we will continue to do as the Republican North Carolina legislature strips away freedoms. And we've got the Trumpocalyptic era upon us starting in 2017, tomorrow, the next day, whatever. I'm in denial. With all that around us, we still got some good stuff to have reasons for celebrating. Including, finally, our new governorship. Goodbye, Rat McCrony. And thanks to Samantha Bee for helping spotlight the very special sessions. Special Republican legislature. You can learn more about the Furious George Show. Go to furiousg.blogspot.com. And, like I said, the show may be offensive to some members. Dangling. So, viewer discretion is advised. Michael Power Radio, I'm furious!
I think that that's going to be something that's going to be a defining element of his presidency.
You mentioned, Congresswoman, you're the ranking member of the House Financial Services Committee, and President-elect Trump and those in his inner circle have said that they want to dismantle Dodd-Frank, the Dodd-Frank regulations. I assume you have said that you're going to work to stop that from happening. What is your strategy there?
Well, my strategy is education of the public. We've got to tell them exactly what he's doing and what it means. First of all, he has gone and gotten all of the Wall Street guys, most of them who are against Dodd-Frank, and want to dismantle it also, they've got to know what that means in terms of being able to buy a house and to hold on to a house. They've got to know the banks that have committed fraud and have been fined, and many of whom should be in jail. They've got to understand that he's brought in his billionaire friends, and he has basically tried to organize an administration that would benefit the richest people in this country, be damn the middle class, and be damn poor people. And so, we've got to educate. We've got to say to those folks
who voted for him, are getting a share of power in the government with a Democratic governor and a Democratic leading state Supreme Court. They'll likely have their work cut out for them, too, because even tonight, about 2 weeks from Democrat Roy Cooper taking over the governorship, North Carolina's Republican House and Senate have convened special legislative sessions, which are supposed to things like disaster relief. And now Republicans are submitting bill after bill after bill aimed at severely limiting the power of the incoming governor.
Once I have to appeal to everybody, I'll be cool.
Yeah. But the fact is that you look at all these exit polls from primary after primary, and the big number that he commands is he tells it like it is. He says stuff other politicians aren't willing to say. And you spoke earlier about people who are frightened, you know, because of these changes in the economy that have left them without the kind of future that they thought they would have, and they're eating that up.
Right, but that, again, and this gets to the point of...
Authenticity is what they say.
This gets to the point, though, of the press versus the campaign. And what we see in the press is they're covering the campaign, but they're not covering veracity or, you know... So the exit polls say this is what people think. Then someone in the press has to come out and go, wow, people must be assholes, because that's not okay to think. You know, it's not okay to have nostalgia for the Mad Men society and think that that ignorance is virtue. And they have twisted this around so that his ignorant pronouncements are somehow a sign of great character. It's like where I grew up, when people go like, hey, look, no disrespect. I'm not saying your mother's a whore. I'm saying, and you're like, I think that's what you're saying.
The difference is he would just say your mother's a whore.
Right. But when he says, you know, people are so nervous. See, here's what's so amazing about this. So the whole idea of political correctness is everybody's so sensitive. Just get over it. You know, why should... African Americans be so sensitive about police shootings? Why do they have to be so sensitive about years of systemic racism creating economic disparity? Come on. I'm not a slave owner. Donald Trump couldn't handle us making a joke about him. Vanity Fair, Graydon Carter did a joke about Donald Trump's hands 25 years ago. He's still not fucking over it.
And his hands aren't any bigger.
So Muslims, not true, by the way.
I hope with the highest of hope that I never have to go back to the trap, and my days are dealing with dope. So I only spit fire and dope. So later on, you can go quote my lines to your people and folk. And they say, pain. That boy be spitting that pressure. And he be smoking that pressure. And he's smart as a professor. Yes, sir. 25 lighters on breath. Kind of that pressure. Sitting right next to him. Next to a book and a gun. Valor the bullet, you better use one.
Yeah, Gary and Steve, you can see behind me, these barricades are still up this evening.
Stay holy and high. May never get rich, but I never bitch, cause I made it here by and by. My, y'all, I could have died, y'all. A couple times I took my eyes off the prize, y'all. I know a few people pray for my demise, y'all. But like cream, I had to rise, I had to rise, y'all. Boat boys, you're in trouble. Hey, gonna need a little hope, boys, on a double. Hey, you're mucking with a G here, she talk to me. Maybe listen to the man that barely dies, his own lobotomy. Pop the tape and baby, we got shit we broke from. You can't fulfill it with a pure absence of hope can do. Only to leap through flame and rings and break the nose of proof. Still in the wings, so be the darlings, hope they broken you. Yeah, they better hope that I'm a full force and a cold fast. See the cold floor where I lick dirt when the dough dried and the pride died. Had a tub max, had a shop right. Give me 2 meals and the lights on. I'm a do right, get a new crew, make a new life. Never boo-hoo, never lose sight. I'm a hoodoo with a burst heart from my old soul. But a stop drop with a squad top, we don't stop a lot. We don't talk a lot about it, we just pop it off a lot. I'm high, man, I'm a cosmonaut. Scream fuck up till they lop our bloody noggins off. I promise y'all.
My, y'all. I could have died, y'all. A couple times I took my eyes off the prize, y'all. I know a few people pray for my demise, y'all. But like cream, I had to rise, I had to rise, y'all.
Idea being that Muslims, hey man, he does, all he's saying is they're evil and shouldn't be allowed in this country. He's just telling it like it is. But God forbid you say happy holidays in December. It's fucking war. So who is it who's exactly sensitive here? We're only talking about what are the trigger points. And the trigger points to me seem to be on one side grounded in a certain reality of life that only those with no experience or empathy towards what those individuals are going through are having. And the other seems to be a clinging to a societal paradigm that just doesn't exist anymore and probably never did. When was America great? What is this time that he speaks of?
Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them?
Clinging to a societal paradigm that just doesn't exist anymore and probably never did. When was America great? What is this time that he speaks of? 81 to 82? Like, what are we talking about? And who took your country away from you?
Yeah.
Whose country, whose is it?
Yeah.
Don't well, take up those, take up those... the argument with the founders. Take it up with the Age of Reason. That's the, you know, all men are created equal. That's fucked the whole thing up.
Yeah, says stuff other politicians aren't willing to say. And you know, you spoke earlier about people who are frightened, you know, because of these changes in the economy that have left them without the kind of future that they thought they would have. And they're eating that up.
Right. But that, again, and this gets to the point of...
Authenticity is what they say.
This gets to the point, though, of the press versus the campaign. And what we see in the press is they're covering the campaign, but they're not covering veracity. Or, you know, so the exit polls say this is what people think, then someone in the press has to come out and go, wow, people must be assholes, because that's not okay.
Started out sure, fun enough. Trump will go away. It's all a big bluff. There are people quite serious about this governing thing. Those tweets are a joke, a publicity fling. Plus, there's news more important in matters of state. We'll wise up and get real before it's too late. But with tweets so outlandish and so much of the hating, it's hard to resist. Check out our new ratings. Yes, there's terror and climate, economy, snoozers, but what really gets us is who he calls losers. See, love him or hate him, we can't look away. And those ratings and eyeballs so beautifully pay. It's a guilty-ish pleasure, a fun little toll, but Hillary's got it. Just look at this poll. Oop, so he's the nominee now? The man they will run? That leaves it wide open, so she can have fun. The ground game is key. To the White House she'll go. What? He's been elected just now? Oh, my. Uh-oh. Like I said all along, it's anyone's race. It's all about jobs and keeping a pace. This year was a big one, a calamitous tale, to be remembered forever as the worst pundit fail. We'll be right back.
police presence still very strong out here tonight. Raw emotions, anger. Men had sporadic demonstrations popping up across the city. Hundreds of people with a similar rally cry. Disappointment in the justice system.
The importance of today goes deeper than the events that have transpired within the last couple of months. For me as an African American, I can't speak for everyone here, but it resonates kind of really deep within.
Election and ethics boards and change their makeup so that the governor's party no longer gets the majority it enjoys under current law. One bill would even dramatically slash the number of employees that report to the governor by 80%. Joining us now is Reverend Dr. William Barber, President and Senior Lecturer at Repairers of the Breach and the architect of the Moral Mondays movement. Reverend Barber, thank you so much for being here. Good evening. So let's talk about the win and then the continuing fight. You were able, in the last 24 hours, to defeat an attempt to pack the Supreme Court. Describe that for us.
Say that one time. I did not hear you.
Oh, the Moral Mondays movement was able to push back or beat back an attempt by Republicans in the legislature to pack the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Explain what they wanted to do.
Yeah, there was a rumor out there, and they were really considering going doing a legislative trick, taking the pain and the tragedy of people who have been hurt by the hurricane and the flood, and using that to cover a trick to stack the courts by adding two slots to the Supreme Court, which would put it back into an extremist majority, simply because an African-American man won 76 counties, over 300,000 votes more than his opponent, and now the court is a more progressive court. It's some of the most cynical stuff, Joy, that we've seen, and we had hundreds of people that came out on the first day basically to push back against that attempt.
And you now have, you had Governor Pat McCrory refusing to go, essentially, refusing to concede the election, fought it in every way he could. But you now have the Republican legislature, the House and the Senate, attempting to essentially make the governorship not worth having and take away all the powers of the governor because a Democrat will have it. What on earth and what are you guys doing to combat that?
Well, you know, this is extremism gone amok. I mean, these folk are not even Republicans. They are on some other, some other world. I mean, my great grandfather was a Republican. They are just power hungry. I just got a report that they've now entered 15 bills. Now, mind you, they came in saying they're concerned about people who are in the floods, but all that was a cover. They've introduced 15 bills. One of them actually changes the makeup of the state boards of election and the county boards of election, because currently whoever gets elected governor, that whoever party he's in, that's who that's how the makeup of the local boards look like. And we're going through all these bills tonight. We're pushing back hard. Our lawyers are standing ready. This is also why, Joy, we need Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, because some of this stuff they would not be able to do in a pre-clearance state. But we're even considering civil disobedience. In fact, I'm on the phone tonight about that, because this is just wrong. And I call on all national media to get down in these states, because the most regressive, extremist stuff is happening in our states. And this is extremism gone amok. It is ugly. It is mean-spirited. It is unconstitutional and undemocratic.
Protesters appeared poised to disrupt the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center. This tourist was hoping to go.
Well, I would have loved to go see the tree. That seems kind of trivial compared to something as important as this.
Police blocked protesters before they could get close to that tree, so several people sat down in the intersection of 42nd Street and 6th Avenue.
The power granted under the North Carolina Constitution.
Is there anything in the Constitution that says we can't wrap the incoming governor in duct tape and stick him where birds poop? No. Well, giddy up. But lawmakers are supposed to be democratically elected, and that is where things get a little dicey.
Republicans only have the power to push these changes through because they have a supermajority in both houses, which they've been able to hold on to because of the way they drew the state's legislative districts. Earlier this year, a court ruled that North Carolina's districts are, quote, racially gerrymandered and unconstitutional as such. And while the districts are being redrawn, new elections won't come until next year.
Until then, some of those Republican legislators have about as much right to pass laws in North Carolina as I do.
Rachel, she's in the driveway.
Cool!
She arrived home, noticed her kitchen light was on, and the light went off.
Before the madman society.
07-11.
9, 44,
1, 4. Inner Circle have said that they want to dismantle Dodd-Frank, the Dodd-Frank regulations. I assume you have said that you're going to work to stop that from happening. What is your strategy there?
Well, my strategy is education of the public. We've got to tell them exactly what he's doing and what it means. First of all, he has gone and gotten all of the Wall Street guys, most of them who are against Dodd-Frank and want to dismantle it also. They've got to know what that means in terms of being able to buy a house and to hold on to a house. They've got to know the banks that have committed fraud and have been fined, and many of whom should be in jail. They've got to understand that he's brought in his billion billionaire friends, and he has basically tried to organize an administration that would benefit the richest people in this country, be damn the middle class, and be damn poor people.
Custody in us for dog bites. 103.5 WCOM LPFM, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Dr. Furious, Furious Stewart Show, Thursday night. Do it every Thursday. Deep into the late night. And I just want to say thanks for listening to Mike Ball Radio, supporting us. You can learn more about this show at furiousg.blogspot.com, where we hit on different crazy effed up things in the world. Sometimes require listener discretion. And that's also partially why people like it. And that's what I do. So thanks for doing what you do. See y'all next year. I'm furious!
Wait for it to show.